I don't know. Raven, you were a cat guy for a while, and okay. I've never been a cat person in my life, but I keep hearing all these stories lately, and I don't know if it's because I watched Tom and Jerry yesterday on HBO Max.
I'm going to guess. Clearly it is. What's going on?
I think that most cats might be possessed by demons. Okay, so taking Tom and Jerry out of this, which, by the way, was actually a really fun movie. My daughters and I loved it. But there's a story that's trending about there was this flight in the Middle East and it had to make an emergency landing last week because the pilots got attacked by a feral cat. They think it was snuck on board while the plane was being cleaned.
Well, a feral cat can be no joke. They can be pretty serious to deal with.
And then I read this other story about this woman who had to go get the help of an exorcist because her cat was, she believed, possessed by demons and bringing evil spirits into her home.
Here's the thing. Sometimes that cat doesn't want to be your cat. Just let that cat go outside and be its own cat.
You once had cats.
Right.
Now, I joked because after a while you hated your cats and then you were mean to your cats.
That's not true. They were just very, very, very old at that point. They lived to be nearly 22. Mm-hmm. And, you know, towards the end, it's not like they were running around playing with a ball of yarn. That's not how cats are living at that point.
Would you get another cat now?
No.
Why?
I would not get another cat right now at this time, just because I'm more of a dog guy right now. Mm-hmm. I've got two dogs. They're pretty complex. They've got issues already. If I brought a cat into it, it would probably would not be good for the cat.
Yeah,
probably wouldn't be good for the dogs either at this point. And I was tired of cleaning things up. You know, that's the thing is, if you're going to have an indoor-outdoor cat, then they can go outside, do their business outside, all that. But if you're going to have an indoor cat, you got to be on top of that litter box, and they shed like crazy.
My best friend Danielle has a cat, Jax.
Yeah.
And Jax is also possessed by demons.
Oh, okay.
And Jax goes outside and collects all the dead rodents.
Oh, yeah.
And then brings them to her. And then
that's because he loves her.
I don't know, because then you know what he did the other day?
What's
Jax?
That?
He made a mess in her favorite slippers. And she says that was an act of rebellion.
Yes.
Because she's favoring the dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, only demon cats do that.
No. This is a real thing. It's how they express themselves. Okay. You haven't lived or had fun until the cat goes and does its business on top of your pillow.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've had that.
Right.
And I haven't discovered it until I was getting into bed.
I think I understand now why they make kittens so cute, because it's the only way you'd ever get a cat.
And that's why I'll have plenty of dogs.
Yesterday, Raven, I jokingly said that Tupperware parties were the gateway drug to people selling all this stuff all over social media now.
I mean, it's not like you were totally wrong.
Right. Liz Dederer is the CEO of Selling with Service and the founder of Sales School for Entrepreneurs. You can visit her online at sellingwithservice.com. Liz, everybody's selling something nowadays. Now it's the new leggings with the crop tops. The essential oils is the OG. There's the protein powders that might be keto and the Color Street nail things. Like every day it's something different that I'm being pushed to buy. And I'm wondering, are these people making any money?
Does it ever work?
Well, I mean, anything is going to work to the degree that you work it, right? Tupperware parties, network marketing, MLMs, whatever you want to call them, are the gateway drug to entrepreneurialism. I think there's a lot of validity to it, but if you buy into the belief that there's an easy button or the lifestyle or if I sign up, then I'll make money, you're not going to make any money. But if you recognize that it's actually a very viable business in a box, that could be your education. That could be the foundation for learning some really necessary life skills. Do people make money? The stats say that less than 2% of all people in network marketing actually earn a livable income.
Whoa.
That's the beauty of the pyramid. There's only room for a couple on top, Anna Zapp.
Yeah.
There is room at the top for a couple, but the problem is at the bottom, people are so looped into that vision at the top of the lifestyle that they kind of prematurely get on social and start touting the lifestyle dream before they've actually done any of the work.
Hmm. Liz, isn't that the thing that lures people in too, though, at the same time that makes the business itself a success?
Absolutely. And that's where it's the entrepreneurial kind of gateway drug, right? It definitely is, because it lures you out of the 9-to-5. It lures you out of the box that we've been conditioned to step into. And it's like, oh, maybe it could be different over here.
Isn't it, you know, part of it too, when you're working a business like this, you learn those hard lessons because you invest, you come in for a certain amount. Yeah, you think you're getting some things for free, but you have an expenditure at the front side. And then you realize the profit margin is not quite what I realize, and I just won't be taking tomorrow off. That loss teaches you a lot about business for your next venture.
If you're willing to learn it, that's the key.
So I've always, you know, this is one of those things that I just look at it and I go, I don't understand how so many people do this. And they really, truly believe like this is going to be the way that they make a lot of money. Like, I have friends that have left their high-paying jobs because they wanted to spend more time with the kids. And don't get me wrong, that is admirable. And, you know, as a mom, I know what that feels like. But I still have to pay my mortgage at the end of the month. So if the chances are so slim, why is it so appealing to so many people?
Why do people buy lottery tickets? You cannot really dream. You can't really dream if you don't do something. But I'm going to play the flip side of the coin, which is network marketing is what got me out of corporate. It was a business model that I was able to learn some foundational skills through, and I ultimately transitioned into the business that I have now, running the Sales School for Entrepreneurs, which is not attached to any network marketing company. But it taught me the core lessons of things that I wasn't going to learn anywhere else. It does teach you the foundational skills. I have a girlfriend who's making close to $80,000 a month.
What does she sell? Did she sell the nail things? Did she sell the nail stuff?
I just want to steal it.
How about that lipstick that never comes off? What is it? What do I got to sell? $80,000 a month.
Snake oil. It's the snake oil. She's got the latest one.
They're all snake oil.
The cream that I put on, it takes the makeup right off my eyes. The leggings. Yep. What the
She's
heck
not
is gonna
it? Tell you.
Right. All right. I love it. If you want to visit Liz online and figure out how you can do this for yourself, check out the Sales School for Entrepreneurs. You can go to sellingwithservice.com. Liz Dederer, thank you so much.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you're breaking into a house, Raven, and you bring a snack with you, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, you hear about people breaking into places and making meals in their house.
Yep.
Even that guy who took a bath by candlelight recently. Mm-hmm. Right. But so they brought their own meal?
Yeah. A woman tried to break into a house and she dropped an empty bag of Cheetos. Now, the cops tied her to the burglary because she had Cheeto dust in her teeth when they found her.
Come on. I mean, this sounds like a commercial.
Right? Here's the cop talking about it.
They're able to positively identify that person as a suspect. And also were able to place her at the scene with Cheeto residue all on her teeth and face. The Cheetos is what nailed the deal.
You got to get a good attorney, girl, because you are walking out with a good attorney. It's great police work, but come on.
Raven, there's so many things I wonder. One.
Yeah.
If you're going to break into a house to steal things.
Yes.
Why are you so hungry that you're going to take a bag of Cheetos with you? And if you eat the Cheetos in the house while you're breaking in, why would you leave the bag there? Clearly, it's got your fingerprints on it. Or are you wearing gloves? And then you decide that, like, oh, they're never going to catch me because I'm wearing gloves. I can just leave the Cheeto bag right here.
Here's the thing. Cheetos. You've had one or two of the crunchy ones. You're not putting them down. Right? So you're going to finish those Cheetos, all right?
True.
So you got to bring the Cheetos now along with you for the break-in. Mm-hmm. Other thing that happens, you're eating the Cheetos, you want more Cheetos, all right? Or you want a Mountain Dew or something else to go with those Cheetos. You look over, oh, there's an unsuspecting house. That's my first place to look.
You know, it just reminds me of...
It's a crime of opportunity.
I guess. It reminds me of, like, when I look at my two-year-old and I said, did you eat all the Oreos?
Yeah.
And she's got the chocolate dust all around her mouth that's imprinted in. Like, I have to take four wipes to get all that Oreo dust off.
Right.
And she goes, no, mommy.
Right.
No.
Right.
And it's like, you know what? You did.
Yep.
And it's kind of like this lady, except she had Cheeto dust.
But with good representation, your daughter and her are walking. They're both walking.
You think they're getting away
with
it?
How are you going to prove that that's the same Cheeto dust? Cheetos are available for everybody. If you didn't print that Cheeto bag, forget it.
That's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, don't admit anything, lady, all right? Loose lips sink ships and allow Cheetos to fly out of your mouth.
Okay.
If you are not here for the Coming to America sequel coming out on Friday on Prime.
Mm-hmm.
That is all I need to know about you.
He's rich. He is rich.
What?
He's got his own money. And baby, when I tell you he's got his own money, I mean the boy has got his own money. You hit the jackpot.
I could play clips from that movie all morning long. I'm getting so excited just looking at the screenshots. Are you telling me you're not pumped?
I have to tell you something. You're going to be upset.
I have a pajama party planned for Saturday with two other socially distanced couples, and we are just going to drink and watch that movie.
I've never seen the original Coming to America. Never seen it. You remember?
Add it to the long list of things that prove that you're not actually an American patriot. Like, you never saw Die Hard, never saw Predator, never saw...
Grease.
Didn't see Grease.
Yeah. But that's because I was raised by immigrant parents. They didn't know I was supposed to watch those movies.
Didn't see Jaws.
I didn't. But you know what? It's on my list, and I'm going to get to it. So don't tell me how it ends, okay? Don't tell me.
The shark eats everybody.
Okay.
And then they kill the shark, but then the shark's brother comes back.
All right. Well, you know what? Now I don't have to watch it. Yesterday was National Read Across America Day, Dr. Seuss's birthday, and there was a lot of controversy because it was announced that six of his books would no longer be printed because of offensive imagery.
I went to lay down last night, go to bed, and my wife said to me, she sucks her teeth. She goes, I just can't believe it. They're going to pull six of Dr. Seuss's books. And I said, have you ever read those books?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you ever actually read those six? Because Dr. Seuss, while he was fantastic, also a little baddie.
So, okay, we've got a story. Now, Dr. Seuss Enterprises said in a statement, these books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. And that's why they have decided to pull these six books. Now, Read Across America Day, when the world was normal before pandemic,
right.
Raven and I would go read to elementary school kids. We did it every year, and we loved it. It's so much fun.
Yeah,
you know?
It's one of the most fun things that we do with community outreach. I really do enjoy it. The questions are fantastic. You can't fake it. Mm-hmm. Kids are the best.
Yep. So every year, I like go into my daughter's room, my older daughter, Hayden, and I would just grab one of her books, and I would bring it to read to the kids. And I got to be honest with you. I usually pull, like, oh, the places you'll go or something like that because
sure.
I like the message. And when I read a book, I deliver it. Like, it's like a theatrical thing.
It's
you know?
True. We're doing the whole thing. You know, you open it up, both pages. You're fanning it about the room. We're moving our hands. We're making gestures. We're doing voices, all sorts of stuff.
Right. So now I run into my daughter's room. This is the last time, last year, I believe it was. And I grab a book. I'm going to get a different one this one. You see her. And she's got every Dr. Seuss book.
Sure.
So I grab one called The Butter Battle Book. I've never read The Butter Battle Book, but it looks good.
I mean, it looks like a Dr. Seuss book.
Just like
it's
all
that
the
same colored
them.
Cover. So you say to yourself, yeah, it's going to be fine. Why not? We'll give them one they haven't heard.
So we get in front of this group of fourth graders. There has to be 30 kids packed in this room.
I want you to imagine they're all there with eager faces. Here's Anna's app, big radio star, walking in.
I start reading the book and it gets darker and darker.
It's amazing.
And I'm looking at Raven out of the corner of my eye, but I got a big fake smile on my face because I'm like, when is this going to end?
Right.
Happy. So afterwards, I Googled what the book is actually supposed to be about. And it says the Butter Battle Book is a rhyming story written by Dr. Seuss. It's an anti-war story, specifically about arms races in general, mutually assured destruction, and nuclear weapons in particular.
I mean, let me tell you, when you've got a Dr. Seuss book that touches on genocide, there's an issue.
So
there's a problem.
Here is a clip from it.
And I, my dear chap, have a message for you. Namely, I also have a big boy boomeroo. And it's my firm intention, since I have the means, to blast every uke into small smithereens.
There's these two zooks, and they both have these massive weapons.
Yeah.
And then the grandkid goes,
Grandpa, be careful. Hey, easy. Oh, gee, who's going to drop it? Will you or he?
And
nobody.
Nobody's going to drop it. No.
Spoiler alert.
But I'm getting to the end of the book. I go, where's the happy ending? Where is the happy ending where all these zooks become friends and everything is okay and you can butter your bread any way you want? Hey, spoiler alert. There was no happy ending. And I didn't know what to do. But here's the best part, Raven.
Mm.
I pull up the six books that they like that they're not going to print anymore.
Right.
The Butter Battle Book. Not even one of them.
Oh, man.
No.
You guys got to go back to that meeting. All right. Let's review a couple more because I thought we weren't getting out of that room without handcuffs.
Nope.
It was bad.
What's that thing in your car that requires an explanation? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, I went to go get a car wash yesterday. And, you know, like you pull in and you open the door and you like hop out and the first thing they do is they open the back door.
Mm.
And all of a sudden I look, I go, oh, my gosh, the fire extinguisher is still in there. And he looked at it and he gave me a look. And I don't know why. Like, you know how like car washes are kind of loud when you put in because they got all like the suction stuff going on. And
sure,
all that.
Sure. Right.
And
right.
Now we've got the masks on top of that.
Yeah.
And I feel the need to explain why I have a fire extinguisher, a large one, in the backseat of my car.
Let me just tell you the first thing, the rule about to know whether or not somebody's lying. when they start explaining something that they don't actually have to explain.
But I wasn't
so
lying.
So obviously you look suspect right away. So what did you tell him?
So I said to him, I go, the story behind the fire extinguisher is that I've never fired a fire extinguisher off before. So I saw one on the side of the road that somebody was giving away. So I pulled over and I put it in my back seat. But I didn't realize until my husband looked at it that it was empty, so I could never fire it off. But now I don't know what to do with it.
Right. You know, you can't just throw it in a trash can.
No. So I put it on my side of the road, and nobody picked it up after 2 weeks, so I didn't know what to do with it, and I felt bad for the neighbor, so I put it back in my car. Now, explain. Imagine me explaining that
to a car wash guy. Right, who doesn't care,
who's
got another car behind you. Just want to get this done, lady.
I was like, one time, I really wanted to fire, and he's just looking at me, and I'm like, Anna, shut up. Right. What are you doing? Like, right. Stop talking. Get your ticket and go inside.
Take it to a firehouse, by the way. Just do that. Yeah, I mean, that's good. I guess if you looked in my car, we actually, so I went out there with Sean, one of our producers, yesterday, and I looked in my car, and the thing that requires explanation in mine, I have rope, a utility blade, and twine. All in my car.
Are you gonna kill
And I'm
me?
Not a serial killer.
Okay, good. Thank God. No,
it's totally true. I'm not a serial killer. I have two kinds of rope, as a matter of fact, plus the razor, and then also a couple signs that say, please don't park on grass, that I got when I was at the cemetery.
Okay. What are you doing with all the things that would make people assume that you're a murderer?
I had to go. I'm in charge of putting the wreaths up at, you know, our cemetery where, you know, my father, my grandmother, and various, my grandfather, various family members are buried.
Okay.
So I put up the wreaths for Christmas time. And then, you know, when it's cold out, I just don't empty my car. Mm. I wait till it's warm. Okay. I wait till it's nice out. Anything like that, if it'll still get me from location to location. I won't actually do anything to change the interior of my car until
lazy.
It actually hits spring.
But it's so strange. If somebody looked in the back of your car and all they saw
was
a machete and some rope, you'd be like, huh?
If I got pulled over, it would be very difficult to answer that question with a straight face if I had done anything else questionable. Like, you know when you get pulled over sometimes and you think, well, maybe I'm going to get a warning. Mm-hmm. If they see that stuff, I'm getting a ticket.
They're going to be like, Excuse me.
I'm getting a ticket. And I'm not
Jay
getting
Raven,
a warrant.
Can you explain the bottle of bleach?
Right.
No, that I can't.
I'd like to, but you're not interested.
Mauricio wrote on our Facebook page, a new pair of slippers that have two different sizes, which I bought 3 years ago and I never returned to CVS. I wonder if I could still return them.
I'm terrible at returning stuff, too. Sometimes if I've got it, I got to bring it inside, show it to my wife, or else it's never going back.
What's that strange thing in your car that requires an explanation? You know what I'm talking about. It's like the thing that it really doesn't belong in your car, but you know why it's there.
I have an ice scraper. I've got one of those window shields that keep out the sun. I also have two types of rope and a utility knife. And I'm not a dangerous person.
I would think that probably just the utility knife and the rope probably require an explanation. Everything else gets a pass.
Honestly, officer, these mean nothing.
1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's in your car that requires an explanation?
Hi. So I've never thought this was weird, but the more people find out about it, the more they think it's weird. I always keep magazines in my car, like at least 10 of them at any given time. I keep them under my driver's seat. So if I'm like waiting for the car wash, waiting for an oil change, I have something to read. But I don't usually refill them. So sometimes, I mean, I have one in there that's probably 7 years old, but I just kind of cycle through them and keep rereading them. And I forget it, or I come across a new article that I didn't catch last time. And it's just fun for me to look back on those.
I mean, where did you even find a magazine? They still make those?
Of course they do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I feel like I pick one up, like, every couple months, there's one that, like, grabs my attention, and I'll grab it at the grocery store.
I can't even believe it.
It's so funny. I was in line at the grocery store the other day, over the weekend, and the woman in front of me grabbed a couple magazines, and she put it, like, on the conveyor belt to check out.
I'm just thinking you're going to jail.
I kept thinking, I was like, huh. I go, who still reads, like, real magazines? I feel like you could find everything online. Yeah. But I guess there's something nice about it.
That you need a couple of them on top of it. Like, that's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she was going to be kept prisoner somewhere.
I try to have like 10.
That's a lot.
So maybe I should start refreshing them. But I guess it's a little weird. But I like being able to put my phone aside and look through it for a while.
And if we need to know who People Magazine's person of 2005 was, you got it covered.
Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's inside your car that requires an explanation?
So I actually keep a smaller travel suitcase that has 3 days worth of clothing just packed and ready to go, just in case of emergency if I ever need to just like get out. I got it there.
Like a bug out bag?
Like you leave your family? What?
I mean, they tell you emergency supplies, right? You'd have some water, batteries, maybe a flashlight or one of those hand crank radios. 3 days of clothes. You get stuck in an emergency seminar? Like, I'm just, what happens at that point?
Who knows what's going to happen, you know? I just like to be prepared for every scenario.
That's like both times that I was pregnant. At 8 months, I packed my hospital bag just in case, but I was getting ready to go to the hospital to have a baby.
Right. I'm wondering, like, what are you packed for, James Bond?
Right.
I mean, is there a formal? Is there an informal? Is there sportswear? I'm wondering what those outfits are, right?
Have you ever actually needed it?
Right. Once.
3 days, no. But, you know, I expect that if I ever do need it, then, you know, I'm ready for it.
Right, okay. A shirt here or there.
I needed it for 1 day once. But, yeah, never a full 3 days.
All right, thank you for the call. Not for nothing, Raven, but if I was that guy's wife, I'd be like, what?
I'm just thinking one of those outfits has got to be a tuxedo. Total James Bond style.
Troy wrote that he has an axe. But then he doesn't explain why,
right.
Which is basically the whole point of this is to explain why.
I mean, Troy would be fine if he was a lumberjack or at least wearing flannel. Then mm-hmm. It would make sense.
What is that thing in your car that when people see it, it definitely requires an explanation? I went to get my car washed and I had a fire extinguisher in the back seat. And I don't know why I felt like I had to explain to the guy, the attendant, why I had a fire extinguisher.
There's nothing weird about my car. I've got 2 dog bowls, a utility knife, and 2 different kinds of rope.
Yeah, totally normal. Shelly wrote on our Facebook page, a wine bottle opener, because why not? I carry a wine bottle opener in my car, too, in the glove compartment.
Yeah, just in case while you're driving down the highway you need it.
Well,
No,
you never know. Sometimes you go places and nobody has a wine bottle opener. I get that, Shelly. Kelly wrote nail clippers. That, to me, is weird.
No. When you get a hangnail, how terrible your whole existence is until you get home and you're able to clip that little piece of skin off.
So you can do it at a red light, at a stop sign?
Oh, yeah, man. It's painful. I got to deal with that right away.
1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's that thing in your car that requires an explanation?
Hi, guys. So I've gotten told already that this is super weird, but I keep tape in my car. So I ship a lot of stuff, like, you know, secondhand, and I was finding that I was buying all this tape at the post office because whether it was taping up a box or taping a label, I never had tape on hand.
Right. It's weird when it's your regular shipping tape, duct tape, electrical tape, and then it becomes like things that you can gag people with. So I could understand why people would find that concerning.
Right. If you've got a loose sock or maybe a washcloth or something like that, I mean, you're right up there with me.
Right. Hi, what's in your car that needs an explanation?
Well, I have a mini fridge in my trunk, and it's filled with snacks and stuff. I commute a lot, so it's filled with drinks and snacks. Well, not drinks, but like snacks and stuff. But people think that I do have a drinking problem because of it, but it's actually like kosher stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if it's juice, you're good. Yeah.
Right.
If it's water,
right.
You're
like,
okay.
Like juice and soda. Right.
If it's gin in a water bottle, then that's different.
Not too much of that.
Not a bad idea if you're traveling far to keep a little mini fridge back there.
I used to have a cooler that would plug in.
Right.
And my sandwich would thaw, get soggy.
At red light, you just jump out, go in the trunk, grab yourself a Diet Coke. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's inside your car that needs an explanation?
Actually, I have my cap and gown from when I graduated. It's still in the back of my car. I feel like, I don't know, at this point, if I take it out, that's like bad luck. So I keep it in there for good luck.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
What?
Was your college graduation or your...
No, it's my high school graduation, cap and gown.
Wait, 10 years?
Clean your trunk. All right, man? I mean, not to mention, those things are flammable. Good luck, Charm. That thing is a fire hazard. That's what it is.
Well, it hasn't caught fire so far, so I think I'm pretty good so far.
Goose Papa.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Usually on Wellness Wednesdays, it's one thing you can do to make your life better. But today, Raven, it's something you shouldn't do that will improve your life.
Well, I like that. I mean, something that I can make my life better with the least amount of effort sounds right up my alley.
A lot of people do this. It's called doom scrolling. And if you haven't heard the term doom scrolling yet, this is what it is.
Doom scrolling describes this activity when we continuously scroll through negative or distressing news, despite this news causing us to feel depressed and anxious.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Isn't that just reading the news?
Well,
I mean, nowadays, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no matter where you get your news, That's pretty much what news is built on nowadays.
Doom scrolling has increased over 60% in Americans over the last year because of the pandemic, because of politics, because of all that.
Right.
And there's a reason, because, you know, like, remember the commercial, The More You Know? It's like when we feel out of control, we just want to get as much information as we possibly can, because it helps us, like, rationalize why we have all these feelings and kind of calm those nerves.
Well, I would venture to say that most of the stuff that we're dealing with or reading about nowadays is kind of that pick a side type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to be informed, at least when you're making decisions. On the one hand, that's good. On
right.
the other hand, if it leads to this, not good.
So why do we do this, though?
It hits a part of our brain called our amygdala, and that's our threat sensing part of our brain, where we want to know what's the threat so we can handle it in the future.
Wait a minute. Can you play that word one more time? Because I feel like they actually don't know how to say that word and just did it and went through it fast.
It hits a part of our brain called our amygdala.
Amygdala.
Amygdala?
Everybody knows what their amygdala is.
I feel like he doesn't say that again in the entire interview.
He definitely
doesn't. It never
comes
up again.
All right, so how do you know that you're actually doom scrolling and doing all these terrible things that cause depression, fatigue, and anxiety?
Do you feel more tension when you're scrolling through your news? Do you feel decreased energy by the time you're done?
Right. I mean, I think that you do this, you fall into the rabbit hole. I do this all the time. You read one article, mm-hmm. and then you go to a different news site, and you read the same article from
right.
that news site because you think you're going to learn something more. You
well,
know, I think we're all guilty of it.
Well, they have a slant on them, that's for sure.
But how do you avoid doom scrolling and ultimately make your life better?
Set a timer and limit the amount of negative news that we're consuming, and also not consuming it too close to bedtime. End on a positive news story or a couple stories. That kind of flips the switch into a positive realm.
All right, now I'm going to tell you a secret, Raven.
Okay.
So I have this problem for a long time where I was really into doom scrolling, and
yeah.
I would do it before bed, and then I would have nightmares all night and I couldn't fall asleep.
Perfect.
So I had to figure out a way, how was I going to stop doom scrolling? Because, you know, like, as a working mom, that when you get in the bed at night, mm-hmm. that's finally your time to yourself.
Well, everybody has a pattern, right?
Yeah.
We have the times that we do things and they're not always healthy for us.
So everybody started talking about this Calm app where they like tell you sleep stories. So I downloaded the Calm app, but you have to pay. And I'm not down for that. So my
right.
girlfriend
had
Tina,
me right up until the paywall.
Yeah. She says to me, she goes, Anna, there's one free story. I go, what? She goes, there's one free story, and I listen to it every single night. I want you to listen to it with me. So every night, I play this story.
For tonight's sleep story, we travel to the south of France, and I'll be your guide as we meander lazily through the lavender fields and sleepy villages of Provence.
Every
is that,
night.
Is that David Attleboro?
No. No, it's not. It's some guy named Stephen Fry.
I mean, that guy is ripping David Attleboro off.
We go to Provence.
Ripping and, him off.
And I don't fall asleep doom scrolling. I fall asleep to lavender fields.
I do the same thing with Planet Earth and stuff like that. And he's always the voice of those shows.
Well, maybe you should check out this guy because he's the only free option on the Calm app.
Yeah, here's the thing. I do it at like 2 in the afternoon. I mean, you're doing it at regular bedtime.
Yeah. Do you ever hear a flarp?
Flarp.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. Flarp looks like it comes in a Play-Doh container.
Okay.
It's like a toy thing.
All right.
Now imagine a Play-Doh container, but what you do is you take the substance out, and when you put it back in, it sounds like you have gas.
Oh.
So it's like a modern day whoopee cushion.
It's a reverse of that. Right.
Exactly.
I'll shove this back in there, and every time I do so, it will emit this sound.
Exactly.
Okay.
My girlfriend's son, mm-hmm. who is 8 years old, thought it was hilarious, like most kids that age think it is, you
sure.
know? Gas is very funny, you know?
Bodily functions, they're the best.
Yep.
We start humor at home.
So in class, he takes out the flarp and he starts doing it in the back of the class.
Why are you whispering like you're going to get in trouble? Like, we're grown-ups here. I mean, you're whispering like you're in the back of this class. So he starts doing it. The teacher
right.
obviously
doesn't realize it's him at first. It doesn't say anything at first because you never know. Maybe the children just have gas. You don't know, right?
The calf is not always right.
And he keeps doing it. Finally, she realizes that something is happening.
Right.
The teacher pulls one of those. If whoever is responsible, then the whole class will be in trouble if they don't come forward. So my girlfriend's son admits that it's him with the flarp,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And he gets sent to the office, and he gets, like, in trouble for it. Now, I think it's hilarious. So she's telling me the story, and let me tell you, She does not think it's funny. What is wrong with my kid? Like, why would he think it's okay to do this?
Like, that's a bad joke? Like,
yes.
His humor should be better?
Well, like, why did he take this to school? Why did he, you know, like...
I'm guessing she bought it for him.
Well, yeah, to play with at home. Hayden, my 12-year-old, has it at home, too. Like, it's a fun toy.
Everybody's
at home.
Flarping everywhere.
Everyone's
I had no
flarping.
Idea. Flarping is like, they're doing it everywhere.
But it's such a dumb reason to get in trouble. What was the dumbest reason why you got in trouble at school?
I do remember in high school that we had this teacher, he would famously pick up change, like anywhere that he came across a coin or whatever.
Yeah.
And of course, when you're a teenager, you think that's hilarious. Like, oh my gosh, he's picking up a quarter. Look at him. Look at him. He's picking up a quarter.
He's bending over.
Right. So every time we would go by his classroom, people would throw coins under his door while he was in class. And he would come out charging sometimes. You never knew how he would react. I didn't do it. I was walking with some guys who did it. And I was like, I didn't do it, so I'm not going to run. He came out and he thought I did it.
Oh.
And I got in trouble for it, and I didn't even do it.
1-800-330-9999. That poor guy, just working on a teacher's salary, picking up quarters, trying to make ends meet.
Mr. Shauna, we thought it was all fun and games until he actually confronted one of my friends after graduation out back of his job.
I remember in middle school, we watched Robin Hood in class.
Okay.
You know, they wheeled in the giant TV and the cart.
Right, I remember
VHS,
that.
Yeah.
The AV cart,
yeah.
Yep.
And when they kissed, I stood up and I clapped. And the teacher freaked out. And I got sent to the office because I stood up and clapped when they kissed.
Don't you disrupt study, class. Come on.
That was the dumbest reason I ever got in trouble at school. What's the dumbest reason why you ever got in trouble at school? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
Because I wouldn't hand my homework in on time. And when I did, I had my mom's signature on it.
Wait a minute. So
and the teacher found out that it wasn't my mother signing it. It was me.
That's not really a dumb reason. That's called your education. If you weren't handing in your homework and you were getting in trouble, then you were supposed to be in trouble, you cheater.
I believe as an adult, if you forge somebody's signature, it's a felony.
Right, it's fraud. It's fraud. Right. I mean, I did mom's signature.
Oh,
a
me
couple
too.
Times.
I could sign my mom's signature all day.
I could do it great right now. Anna and Raven, what'd you get in trouble for at school?
So I was in 12th grade and I was coming out of band practice, which was after school. At that time, we were allowed to drive. I was driving my car out of the parking lot, pretty focused at the parking lot, and when my friend decided to jump on the roof of my car. Because she jumped on the roof of the car, I didn't immediately slam on my brakes because I realized she would go flying off of it. And I got in trouble and detention for not immediately stopping the car.
And you probably got a scratch on your roof.
Right.
I'm going to knock my friend for that.
I remember the biggest thing in high school is if you lost the privilege to have your car
right.
on
you
property. That was
park
the worst.
At the condo complex like two blocks down and hope it didn't get towed while you were in there because there's no way you were taking the bus.
Yeah. Anna and Raven, why'd you get in trouble?
So in fifth grade, I brought a miniature water pistol with me in my backpack. And every time the teacher turned her back to write on the chalkboard, me and my friends would score her with it.
Gosh.
She would turn around and say, "Who did that?" And we all just sat there and nope. None of us.
Stone-faced.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Stone-faced. That's great.
Remember spitballs?
Oh
my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're disgusting. As an adult, I'll tell you right now, you hit me with a spitball, we're going to fight. Straight
nasty.
Up.
Anna and Raven, why'd you get in trouble at school?
Well, when I was in third grade, I was known as the motor mouth because I didn't have patience for people that didn't get the answers fast enough. So I would shout it out and be in timeout in the corner. And then they would send a letter home to my mother saying that your daughter is continuing to be a motor mouth. Can you please
right.
gag her? What
yeah.
do they want you to
can
do?
Can you please make sure she's not the smartest kid in class?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you get in trouble for that was ridiculous?
So when I was in seventh grade back in the 90s, I took ginseng to school because it's a vitamin. My dad was big into vitamins back then, but we didn't have the internet. So the teachers found it in my backpack and they suspended me. They had to do a whole thing. I was actually on the TV for it, for the suspension, and they tried to expel me. And then when they realized it wasn't drugs, that they realized it was ginseng, they basically said I had brought an aphrodisiac to school to pass out to the seventh graders.
Oh.
That was their cover story?
That was it?
Oh,
for
man.
Ginseng?
Thank you, State Crime Lab, right. for bailing me out. Jeez.
That's when the science teacher also becomes the drug inspector. Yeah. Right. That dumb reason why you got in trouble at school. 1-800-330-9999. My daughter's son got in trouble because he brought FLARP. FLARP is like this thing where you put your finger in it and it makes gas noises, and he kept doing it in class until the teacher finally realized that it wasn't a student, it was him doing it.
Who knew that the whoopee cushion had evolved at all?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was the dumb reason why you got in trouble at school?
Like kissing the boys in the hallway.
Well, I mean, come on. That's not really dumb. I mean, that was what you had to do at the time. We all know that.
You have to literally chase him down.
Really good kiss.
That's right.
Only time I ever got in trouble in school was for kissing boys in the hallway.
All right.
Anna and Raven, what was that dumb reason why you got in trouble at school?
Well, I was in study hall, and everyone's acting like animals, you know, study hall. And the teacher said the next person who talked and gets in trouble gets detention. 5 minutes later, I sneezed. He said, the teacher said, God bless you. I said, thank you. And I got detention.
But that's dumb.
You know what?
That is dumb.
When they're tricky and they're on top of stuff, man, you got to give it for that teacher because he's taking his anger out on you.
Mm.
That's real life stuff there.
Yeah, my football buddies, we had practice after school. My football coach ran into the study hall where I had detention, said, get out now, and said to the teacher, I'll talk to you later.
Wow.
Serious.
Because it was so dumb.
The coach, though, a couple anger issues, maybe.
What is the dumb thing that you got in trouble for at school?
In high school, my locker mate and I decided that we wanted to have a pet fish. I don't know why. We thought it would be cute and funny. So we kept a pet betta fish in our locker for a couple weeks. And we would feed it, not on the weekends, of course, but they can go a couple days without food. But then one of the science teachers walked by and saw it, and we got in so much trouble. And their whole thing was like, what were you going to do, you know, on the breaks? It could have, like, died and been, like a biohazard. They were so serious. So then we had to share the fish for the rest of the year that it was alive.
At least they didn't take the fish away from you. I kind of feel bad for the fish,
yeah.
To be honest. Yeah, shared custody of a fish?
Right.
Yeah. We traded off every week like a divorced couple.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What is the dumbest thing you got in trouble for at school?
Well, I mean, it's I kind of hate talking about this story, but, you know, whatever. It's time. So in third grade, like, I was just a bad kid. I don't know. I was mean. I think it's because my sisters used to pick on me all the time. They were older than me. But anyway, in third grade, I was sitting behind this girl. She had really long hair, and you know, we were doing like an art project or whatever. So I had my scissors out, and I ended up cutting off a pretty good chunk of her hair.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and yeah, I got in big trouble for that. I was suspended. From third grade, I was suspended for like 3 days. It was a whole thing. Her parents called my parents. I had to apologize. It was.
You cut her hair.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a thing you live with. Like, you'd be labeled in my town till high school.
Yeah.
You know, like, you'd either be regarded as the tough guy or the jerk.
I would go with the jerk.
Yeah, I mean, jerk stayed with me for a while.
Well, it was deserved, but you're free now. You confessed.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that dumb reason why you got in trouble at school? Head to our Facebook page. Let us know there. And if you're not friends with us yet, all you have to do is search for Anna and Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you decide who's right. Rob and Clara. Rob, let's start with you. What's going on?
All right. Well, my wife and I, we have two kids. They're teenagers. And she lets them listen to all kinds of music in the car whenever we're, you know, driving together. Whether or not the songs have adult language or violence or whatever. And I just think it's not appropriate. Just because the music is out there and the kids can listen to it doesn't mean that we have to be the ones who are, like, sanctioning it, you know?
Mm.
I don't know. I think it's like we're trying too hard to be the cool parents, you know?
How old are your kids?
14 and 16.
Yeah, well, obviously they are getting exposed to the music. I mean, it is what's on the radio now, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and TikTok, they hear all of it.
Right. The content-wise, though, that's the thing.
Clara, you don't play, like, the edited version or anything like that for them?
No, because they're going to hear it anyway. Like, they go to public school, and like you said, with TikTok and Instagram, like, they're going to be exposed to it. So I'd rather them be exposed to it with me and they can understand versus just out there listening to it anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a problem with I understand that the music and they get exposed to language. I mean, we all get that. But it's something else to be said, I guess, about if you're enjoying it with them, and is that embracing the content matter of what's in the song, right? I mean, it's not always about what's said. It's about the intent with it. But I don't know. You know, I mean, that is a tricky thing, right? I mean, do they have to hide their music? Do you lecture them on the music? Like, it's a strange place to be, Anna.
My 11-year-old daughter, actually, well, almost 12, asked me the other day. She had heard a Lady Gaga song that was an unedited version. And she said to me, she had heard it so many times on the radio.
Sure.
She's like, did you know it says this word? And I go, yeah. And she's like, well, how come we never listened to that one? I go, well, because we listened to the clean version. And it was, like, surprising for her. And if at 11 she's getting exposed to it, I'd rather her have a conversation with me about it. So I kind of do see what Clara is saying. Like, right. You can only protect them for so long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the radio version is typically so close anyway. I mean, you know what they're talking about.
Yeah, but not always.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess. Sometimes they do change the line all the way.
All right, well, let's see whose side you're on. 1-800-330-9999. You may side with Clara. They're going to hear it anyway. You might as well just let them play it when they're in front of you. What's the big deal? But they may see Rob's side, too. You're endorsing it by letting them listen to it in front of you.
Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
It's a little bit tricky trying to figure out whose side you're on this morning. It's a couples court. Rob and Clara have 14-year-old and a 16-year-old, two kids, teenagers. And Rob is upset that his wife, Clara, lets them listen to songs in the car that have swear words. He says it's completely inappropriate, but Clara's side of it is, well, they're going to hear it anyway. They're going to hear it outside of this car, so at least if they're in the car with me, I can explain why they should not use those kind of words.
Growing up, obviously, we had plenty of records that were out there that came out that you knew that your parents didn't want you to listen to. And the truth is that listening to them with me and my friends, that was part of the cool part of it, was sneaking those songs, listening to those songs. I'm not for it. I can't endorse it.
Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Hi, I am on the wife's side. It depends on if I like to listen to the music myself, and why not share it with our children? But it's the way they use the language. If they're using it towards somebody or towards you when they're singing it, and being, especially like Eminem or something, if the child singing that towards the mother and being, berating or something, then this will be out the window. But other than that, back in the day. But other than that, it's all in the way they treat the parents and the people around them. So I would let them listen to it.
I mean, it should be noted that Eminem's mom wasn't a great mother figure.
No.
And it's a bit of an old reference. I mean, it's always coming at somebody's expense. If you're talking about how great you are or how much money you have or whatever, it's all coming at somebody else's expense. Realize that. Even if it's not somebody that you know or somebody that's in the car, it's somebody else's expense.
Right. But I think that as a parent, you have to use that as a learning opportunity to teach the kids what's right, what's wrong, why.
She said she liked it. Is it for her? Is it for them? And is it really in the best interest of the kid if it's for her?
Like, we didn't blast Jay-Z in 1997 when we were 17 years old.
And I wouldn't do it with my 8-year-old in the car now because it's just not ready for them. It's not appropriate content.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. Rob and Clara have two teenagers, 14 and 16. Clara lets them listen to music in the car that has swear words. Rob says that's absolutely obnoxious.
Are we really talking about swears or are we talking about the content? Either way, he sees her letting them listen in the car as an endorsement. She says they're going to hear it anyways. Why not hear it with me?
Whose side are you on? It's a couples court. 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
Hey, I'm on his side. Kind of an old soul, and especially at 14, I can only imagine what they're listening to. So I just say, especially for his sake, with close personal friends on the car, listen to it on your own time.
I just look at it like this. Like, think about the explicit shows or movies that you might watch. Would you watch that with your 8 or 9-year-old?
No, but I think that 14 or 16-year-old, yes.
They're talking about the same stuff, though, in these songs.
Yeah, but these are teenagers.
Good morning, Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I mean, I just look at it like when I was growing up, it was like, we had the clean and, different versions, too. And out of respect, you don't do, you just don't listen to certain music in front of your parents, because it's like, I don't know, it's just like more of a private thing. And then, them condoning it, like, oh, okay, it's okay to do all this music. I doubt that they're even asking them about the music anyways, because that's the kids. They're just listening to it. And then if they comment, they're like, oh, mom, dad, you're not cool.
you know, and it's, oh, no, I want to be the cool parent. And that's the problem we have a lot of times is everyone wants to be the cool parent.
You and I see eye to eye.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Good morning. I think I'm on her side, I believe, because music is a form of expression. And if there's curses in it, I have a 9-year-old. When she hears curses, I tell her, you know, it's music. And she shouldn't actually follow everything that's going on. Like, it's music. It's not like she's cursing every day.
I mean, but when you're listening to it with her, it's kind of like, do as I say, not as I do, though, right? That's what you're saying.
No, because if she's listening to the music, I'll let her sing the lyrics, whatever. But don't let me catch you saying that the F word or the B word to somebody in the street with no musical content.
Well, see, yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, because what you're saying is that you have to understand why it's not okay to do it outside of this car. It's hard to explain, but I kind of agree with what you're saying.
But when she does it, how do you tell the teacher that she learned it in the car listening with you?
Well, I mean, she can't. That's why you have that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Rob, our audience agreed with you this morning. Clara, by playing it for them and letting them listen to it in front of you, you're kind of giving them a thumbs up, people thought, that this is okay and this is acceptable, and that's not what you want to do as a parent.
They're going to be exposed to it anyway. I mean, you're going to raise your kids how you want to raise your kids, but for me, I think that they're teenagers. They're old enough, and they're going to be exposed to it the way things are now with school and social media, so I prefer them knowing how to have that conversation.
You know what, Clara? I agree with you, but the audience didn't. So, you know, there's not much else that we can say at this point. Rob, you have to at least feel somewhat vindicated that the majority of the people agreed with you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I got to say, it feels kind of good. The thing is that, you know, if the kids are listening to it, what's to stop them from saying it, you know, in the car? And so, I don't know. I just feel like if they're going to listen to it, fine. Listen to it in their rooms and with headphones, whatever. I just don't want to be in the car with them while they're listening to it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying with that, too, is that, you know, there's a difference between they listen to it by themselves, they listen to it with their friends and whatnot, and them listening to it in front of adults. There's a different thought process with that. But best of luck, guys.
Thank you.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Marianne.
Marianne, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Marianne.
All right, Marianne, we have $1,600 on the line. Raven is walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. You get about 3 seconds to answer each one. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But you beat him, you win $1,600. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number 1, Gal Gadot announced that she and her husband are expecting their 3rd child. What DC superhero does she portray?
Wonder Woman.
Number 2, Angelina Jolie sold a painting done by Winston Churchill for $11.5 million. What actor portrayed Winston Churchill on Netflix's The Crown?
John Lithgow.
Number 3, Meghan Markle is trending because the British papers are saying that members of the royal staff say that she was a bully. This weekend, her first public interview will air since she got engaged to Prince Harry. Who is the interview with?
Oprah.
Number 4, John Mayer made news because he finally joined TikTok and all the Taylor Swift fans went nuts criticizing him. What song did Taylor famously write about him? Time's up. And number 5, Dr. Oz saved a man's life at Newark Airport using CPR and a defibrillator. What's Dr. Oz's first name? Time's up.
Ozo?
Ozo? Is that what you said? Let me bring
it. I thought it was John, but I don't know.
All right. Marianne got 3 out of 5.
That's not too bad. Let's see how I do. $1,600, Marianne.
Number 1, Gal Gadot announced that she and her husband are expecting their 3rd child. What DC superhero does she portray?
She plays Wonder Woman, and she was born to play it.
Number 2, Angelina Jolie sold a painting done by Winston Churchill for $11.5 million.
Saw that.
What actor portrayed Winston Churchill on Netflix's The Crown?
John Lithgow. And I believe it or not, I didn't like it.
That's because I always see him as a comedic actor. So when he takes serious roles like that, for some reason, I have a hard time with it.
He's actually great when he's terrifying. I just didn't feel him as Winston.
Number three, Meghan Markle is trending because the British papers are saying that members of the royal staff say she was the bully. This weekend, her first public interview will air since she got engaged to Prince Harry. Who was it with?
It's with their neighbor, Oprah.
Yes. Number four, John Mayer made news because he finally joined TikTok and all the Taylor Swift fans went nuts criticizing him.
Okay.
What was the name of the song that Taylor famously wrote about him?
Dear John, I think you're talking about.
Yep. And number five, Dr. Oz saved a man's life at Newark Airport using CPR and a defibrillator.
Mm-hmm.
What's Dr. Oz's first name?
Mehmet.
Mehmet is correct.
I definitely didn't
think you know that one.
My wife watches him. I'm not a fan, but she watches the show.
All right, Marianne, he took you down 5-3. That does get you your own Ann on Raven t-shirt.
This is Marianne, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Marianne. Hold on. Put another $100 in the jackpot. That means tomorrow morning you'll have your shot at $1,700.